The third Aliyah of Parshas Chukas is a pretty important story. Towards the end of the second Aliyah of Parshas Chukas, we had the death of Miriam, and we know that with the death of Miriam, Be'era Shel Miriam, the well of Miriam, provided water for the Jewish people, stopped producing water. Temporarily, we might say, stopped producing water. The Jewish people were thirsty, and they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu with vigor. They complained and they said, Lu gavanu bigva achenu lifnei Hashem, had we only been lucky enough to die by the death of our brothers before Hashem and the plague that happened in last week's Parsha. V'lama haveisem eskal Hashem al hamivor hazeh lamus sham anachnu v'yireinu. Why did you bring the community of Hashem to this midbar, to this desert, to die there, we, Bireinu, and our animals? Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to this bad place? This is not a place where things grow. It's not a place of Zera, Te'ena, Gefen, Verimoin. It's not a place of where fruits and plants grow. U'mayimayim lishtoisen, there's no water to drink here. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they went to the Pesach El Moed, they fell upon their face. The presence of Hashem appeared to the people. Right? To them, it was hard times. Okay, that's where the second Aliyah ends. The third Aliyah begins. Hashem spoke to Moshe, and he told him to take the stick and to assemble the people, you and Aaron, and you should speak to the rock, and it will produce water. I assume you've heard the story before. Right? So Moshe and Aaron, they go and they hit the rock, or Moshe hits the rock. Shimuna Hamayrim, listen, rebellious ones, am I supposed to produce water from you from the stone? I mean, Hasela Zen Aitilachamoyim. And he produces water from the rock and he gives them to drink. And it's not a happy ending because HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe, to Aaron, he says, you didn't trust in me, Lehemantim, but you didn't believe in me to sanctify me, Le'enei B'nei Yisrael. Therefore, you will not bring the Jewish people to the land they promised. The chet, what's called the chet mei meriva, the sin of the waters of strife. That's what we refer to this as. And we could spend our time tonight just trying to go through some of the basic interpretations about what the sin of the mei meriva was. Because as many commentaries as there are, is as many interpretations as there are. Everybody has a mahalach, everybody has an approach, a nuance. There are challenges that present themselves to almost any version of understanding it. It's a complex story, and one can understand that it should be a complex story and should be a mystery. The sin that is, so to speak, the downfall, not really the downfall, but to some degree the downfall of the greatest Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu, who there was never anybody like and there will never be anybody like, should not be the kind of sin that you and I can figure out easily. So it's not al chinam, it's not for nothing that this is perhaps one of the most mysterious parshios in the Torah. Even though the story is pretty straightforward, but figuring out what was supposed to happen, what ended up happening, what went wrong, very, very complex as a sin of Moshe Rabbeinu ought to be. So what are we going to do? I'm not going to review with you all the different pshatim, all the different interpretations and all the things and problems with the various ones. We're going to try. It's something which, you know, in the time we learned a little bit, the parsha between Mincha and Maariv went over a number of the pshatim. Again, only just a small number, and we'll refer to different things here. But I want to talk maybe a little bit more broadly. A little bit more broadly. Yes, we're going to be talking about what the chet is, but a little bit more generally about it, not so pinned down. We all know that one of the classic interpretations is, the way Rashi goes, the way many go, is that the sin was that they hit the rock when they'd been instructed to speak to it. Raises all kinds of questions. Raises the question that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim 40 years earlier, 39 years earlier, and they first had water drawn for them from the rock, what were they told to do? Told to hit the rock and produce water. So if it was good then, why shouldn't it be good now? One problem. Another problem, if the chet was that they hit the rock, so then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them to take the stick? Hashem told him to take the stick. If it was such a terrible thing to hit the rock, why should he give him the stick and then tell him, speak to it, and bedafka don't, specifically don't hit it? Hard to understand. Some struggle. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Both Moshe and Aaron were punished for this chet. Many issues, many questions. But one, so exactly again, how to understand it, how to answer these specific questions. There's lots of room for close reading and close discussion of the nuances. We'll come to it a little bit. We're going to again approach this a little bit in a more conceptual way, and not necessarily trying to pin down everything in the most concrete manner. Let's focus on something here. The matter, whether it was meant to be used or wasn't meant to be used, is certainly a factor in what's happening here. When Hashem tells Moshe, "Kaches hamateh, take the mateh, take the stick, v'akeles ha'idu atah, v'arein achicha, and gather the community, you and Aaron, your brother," right? There's something that is significant here about this choice. So, what's the idea? Let's look at one more thing as the pasuk goes along. Vayikach Moshe, the pasuk says, and Moshe Rabbeinu took as hamata, the stick, milifnei Hashem, from before Hashem. And he went, Kasher Tivu as Hashem instructed him, and they gathered the people of Pnei Asela, and they said, Amin Asela Zenetzil Chamay. So what does this mean? They took the Mata Milifnei Hashem, from before Hashem. So what several of the Rishonim understand, several of the early commentators, including, for example, the Ibn Ezra, says, Hu Mata Elokim Vu Amunach Lifnei Hoidus. This is the Mata of God, by what has been referred to earlier in the Chumash as Mateo Elokim V'yodai, the staff of Hashem was in his hand by Makos, by the plagues, by the different signs which were performed. And he says it was placed Lifnei Ha'edus. It was placed before the Edus, meaning before the Aron, before the Ark in the Holy of Holies. And what's that a reference to? That was placed before the Ark in the Holy of Holies. So we look back to Bamidbar, Perek Yud Zayin, to last week's Parsha. And in last week's Parsha, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, and take from them a mata, a stick, from each shevet. And they should all be placed, each tribe's name should be written on its staff, and the name of Aaron should be written on the tribe of Levi, and they should be placed in the Ohel Moed before the Eidus, and we'll see what happens. You'll see that the person who I choose, Mateu is stick yifrach, it will blossom. And I will cause to recede from upon me the complaints of the Jewish people. So everybody knows what happened. So the staff was there, and they came back, and Mata Ara in the base Levi, it had blossomed and had grew almonds. Right, and so the people went nuts. Anyway, so there was so Moshe Rabbeinu brought them out. Vayiruvay klish mateu. Everyone saw. They took their stick, each reish hashevet, and Hashem said to Moshe, "Take the staff of Aaron and put it back lifnei ha'edus in front of the Aaron, l'mishmeres la'ois livnei Mary, and it should be safeguarded there as a sign livnei Mary to the rebellious ones." So that their arguments and their complaints will recede from upon me and they will not die. Says the Ibn Ezra, and it says the Pasuk, but the Ibn Ezra points to that, right? You can learn for years this Parsha and not realize this little nuance because Rashi doesn't say anything about it. When he took the stick, Hashem said, take the matah m'lifnei Hashem. It says, take the matah. Right, so the pasuk says Moshe took the matam lifnei Hashem kasher tivo as Hashem instructed him. It was the stick that was now not a stick. It was now a tree, right? It was now a stick with blossoms, with fruit growing from it. It was different than it had been before, and that was the stick which he was supposed to bring here in order to perform this act. So. began, as we mentioned, the Rishonim noticed that this was the stick which he was being asked to use. And some say, that the Pshat was, right, the Rashbam, for instance, also notes that it was this stick that was taken with Fnei Va'edos, the stick which is Lishmer Salas of Fnei Mary. And he says, he didn't have him take the stick because he wanted him to hit the rock, because we know that this time around he wasn't supposed to hit the rock. But this stick now had a function, a new function. What was it? It was an ice, it was a sign for those who would want to rebel. For those who would want to rebel, so that their complaints would recede. So says the Rashbam, that was the idea. Right, Siva Lakachas Ayes by Kaishi Mary Shalhem. It was to demonstrate you guys are rebelling. The stick is to remind people not to rebel. And he goes on and he says, notice the language. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to the people before he produced the water? Shimuna Hamayrim. Mayrim is, right, those who are rebellious. That's the verb to the adjective of B'nai Mary, people of rebellion. So that was the idea. It was to remind them of this, that was there as a sign that everybody should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chosen Aaron. It would be there as a sign, L'mishmeres L'ois L'vnei Mary. That's the way the Rashbam learns. Chizkuni as well understands similarly that this was the that this was the purpose of the Mata. Excuse me one second. Zehu Makli Shalara. This is the staff of Aaron, as it says, "Vayikach Moshe Samatim Lifnei Hashem." That's the Mata Aaron that it says in Parshas Korach. Put it there as a sign. Lifnei Mary, the Makli Shel Aaron Ha'isul Nemer Ha'inu Moshe Shimuna Amayrim. That's what Moshe says when he says Shimuna Amayrim. Kfar Tov Moshe Sha'amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Kachas Samatim Sover Moshe Lakish Besela. LaKadosh Baruch Hu Kachas Samatim Elav Ishu Ha'is Lifnei Mary. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. When Hashem told him to take the stick, he thought he was telling him to take the stick to hit the rock. But he was really just taking the stick to show off the stick. Because the stick was a sign against the Moira. I know, the trick is, right, the Rashbam doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake, he doesn't necessarily say it, right, but the Chizkuni says he made that mistake, then it's interesting that he would make that mistake, but yet choose the perfect language for what the stick was supposed to indicate, which was that they were Moirim, that they were rebellious. Okay, whatever it is. I'm just bringing out this point, just a little casual sample, please, if you could, anybody. How many people realized before that this was the stick that they were using here, the one that had grown almonds? Anybody? It's the first time for everybody, right? It's not so noticed, but it's not hidden. I mean, in the Rishonim, it's written in basic Rishonim here that are published, but it's not realized. Okay, what's the significance of this? So again, there's what I'm saying. It'll be enough. It'll be a sign that the name Mary. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Be'Dvarei. The problem, the basic problem that one could ask on this is that was this really a stick to be a sign for all rebellious people at all times about anything in the world? Remember, Parshas Korach was to a large degree contesting one thing, which was Aaron's choice as the Kohen Gadol. Right? The special choice of leadership and spiritual leadership amongst the Jewish people. The stick was to show the one that Hashem had chosen, Mateo Yifrah. Was this a sign for everything? I mean, this story in Parshas Chukas would seem to have absolutely nothing to do with choosing Aaron for the kun or anything like that. So it seems we take maybe a narrow proof and making it broader. Well, evidently it is. The Pasuk didn't say it's to prove this specific thing. When it says in the Shemer Selech Sunei Mary was that they should stop complaining. And here, of course, the language is the same language of Tulunais, right? Vayiloinu, they complained, right? They ignored the message of the stick. What's going on here? So I would like to suggest to you a way of looking at this. A way of looking at this which can have a relationship to hitting versus talking, but in the framework of looking at this stick is a little bit of a chameleon. We know that it's a stick which is used to perform miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu had it with him when the water turned into blood, when the frogs came out, when the dust turned into lice, when the sea split. Moshe Rabbeinu had this matter. Sometimes Aaron used it, sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu used it. But this was the matter of the miracles. What was the first thing that was ever done with this matter? The first thing that ever happened with this matter was that this matter turned into a snake. And one might say the last thing that ever happened with this matter was, besides for this story of hitting the rock perhaps, was that this matter sprouted fruit very, very quickly. What's the difference between them? They're mamish polar opposites. You understand that they're polar opposites? When the stick is a snake, what's a snake? A snake is a mamis. A snake kills. Yes, I know that later in this week's parsha we speak about, does the snake kill? Or does the, you know, chinochash mamis, chinochash machaya. Right? But a snake is there as the picture of hostility. A snake bite kills. But, of course, the original time a snake killed was not by biting. The original time a snake killed was the snake introduced death into the world. Right? It's the picture of the Satan, right? The Satan that convinces Adam and Chava to go and eat from the tree of knowledge and bring mortality. Right? There's no snake that killed ever nearly as much as that snake. It brought mortality to humankind. A snake is a picture of death and of destruction. The mate arid that blossomed is a picture of the exact opposite. When we speak about something that blossoms and produces life, when you speak about something that blossoms and produces instantaneously, that's life without even a cycle of life. You understand that the idea of kayitz v'chayrev kar v'chayim, the progression, the time that it takes. You know, remember what Chazal say? Chazal say that when Chava sinned, the Torah says, Hashem says to Chava, I'm giving you now a punishment that ve'etev tel dibonim, that's going to be with anguish, with pain, that you will bear children, and so on and so forth. It's a process. Chazal, but before the sin, this sounds like ridiculous, it sounds like fairy tales to us from where we are, where we live. It says, Shnayim yordu l'mitzu shleisha olam. Two people, man and wife, would go into the bed, and out of the bed would come three people, the man and wife and a baby. Instant productivity, instant fertility. But what happened with death was that everything is a process. Something has to build, grow, and then it grows down. Right? Everything is a process. The Be'etzev Tel Dibonim, which includes the cycle that a person goes through, that a woman goes through on a monthly basis. That's a cycle of life and death, life and loss of potential life. That all comes at that point. And when Adam was addressed, what was he told? You have to toil to produce bread from the ground. That's also part of this thing. Everything has to go very gradually. You have to work hard to be able to get it to come out. Everything takes a process. There's the growth of life and then the decline, the bell curve. However, in a world which is not afflicted by death, the productivity is instant and constant. Say Chazal, Asidin Ilone Srak. In the future, the sterile trees, the trees which don't usually produce fruit, those sterile trees, those in Eretz Yisrael, will produce fruit every single day. There's no such thing as not producing. In the world of utter vitality, and the Mate Arayim that went into the Kodesh Kodashim to be in front of Hashem, Ki Imcha Mekar Chayim, where life is the sign of its connection to that life, that the staff of Aaron is what belonged there to be before Hashem, was that it blossomed quickly, the quickest, right? Shkedim, almonds, as the word shaked, is something which is happening aggressively and quickly. That's why it's called, because it grows the fastest. It blossomed. The Gemara says, the days of pregnancy, don't ask me about the biology, but the days of pregnancy of a snake are 70 years. The longest of any creature. Right? A snake is death. Snakes reproduce, but it's with difficulty. You know? Again, you have to understand these statements anymore, not necessarily scientific statements. Right? But the idea is that productivity is the antithesis of mortality. And the snake is a creature of mortality. And therefore, you don't comfortably find productivity in the world of the snake. It's most difficult for it. This stick went through a phase when it was turning to the nachash, to the snake, and went through a phase when it turns into a blossoming stick. What's the change? What's happening? What's happening is something which has happened repeatedly. It's happened more than once here in our parsha, in our parshios. When Moshe Rabbeinu first went to Mitzrayim, he did something terrific for the Jewish people. But the truth is, we were beneficiaries of something terrible which he did. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu went to do din against the Mitzrayim. The Yod HaChazaka, the strong hand which Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated, was the strong hand of Hashem of hitting the Egyptians, the Yod Chazak of Israel. The Makos were din. The Makos were harsh. They were destructive. I want to remind you of something that we learned at different times. Basic idea, very important idea, about the transformation from Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Makos, to Kriyas Yamsuf. Both miraculous events. In certain ways, Chazal tell us that the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf eclipsed the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? Five times, right? This was with a finger, this was with a hand. The Bnei Yisrael struggled after all the Makos Mitzrayim, and then at Kriyas Yamsuf they saw, oh, they believed. What was the transformation? So you find in the Ramban that the Ramban there says a very important, beautiful idea. And that is that the plagues of Yitzias Mitzrayim showed that Hashem wanted to punish the Egyptians for the evil which they did. But now at Kriyas Yamsuf, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, he showed that he wanted to do for the Jewish people. And we always explain it very simply. The plagues of Yitzias Mitzrayim were punishments that were not given to the Jews. They were given to the Mitzrayim. And the Mitzrayim were enslaving the Jews. So the Egyptians got so punished that eventually they let go of the Jews. But it was a punishment with a positive benefit on the side. Kriyas Yamsuf was what? Kriyas Yamsuf also killed the Egyptians and saved the Jews. But the first miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, the primary miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, was not the drowning of the Egyptians. Drowning of the Egyptians was when Kriyas Yamsuf stopped, when it stopped being split, and then it swept away and swept up the Egyptians. The splitting was to save the Jewish people from the Egyptians who were chasing after them. That was what it was for. The sea split to save the Jewish people. Says the Ramban, now the Jewish people didn't just see Hashem doing something against, they saw him doing something for. It's a big difference. And that brought a new level of belief. I mean, about Hashem of Mersha after. Beautiful, glatt, smooth, significant difference. The Makkah that brings Makkos. And let's take a liberty and say, even the Makkah of Kriyas Yamsuf,
because it's true that Kriyas Yamsuf did save the Jewish people, but it was also did wipe away the Egyptians in the end. Right? It had this element to it. But to turn into a situation of just giving good, that's not simple. That doesn't come easily. And it's something which Klal Yisrael is worried about, Kiseder, consistently. Take yourself back to last week's Parsha, to Parsha's Kairach, to the event which happens right before the story of the stick, of the putting the stick there in that place. And they complained, and they said, Atem amitem esam Hashem, you killed all these people. And again, the presence of Hashem, Moshe Aaron come to the El Moed, and Hashem says, go away, separate from them, I want to destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, quickly, take the Ketores, go run in the midst of the people and stop the plague. What happened? What's he doing? Ooh, there was a trick which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai. What was the trick? The trick was that Ketores can stop the Malach HaMavis, can stop the angel of death in his tracks. Ketores, the infant, can stop the plague. So Moshe had Aaron run in there and stop the plague with the Ketores. Great. What's going on? So adds Rashi, that what happened was here, part of the issue is, Dover Acher Loma B'Ketores, Levisha Yisrael Melizim Umaraninim Acharakteres Leimar Sama Mavesu. The Jewish people were casting all kinds of aspersions on the Ketores. They're saying, it's poison. Al Yadai Mesu Nadav Aviu. Through the Ketores, Nadav and Aviu died. Al Yadai Nisru Chamishim Asayim is just now 250 men tried to offer the Ketores, and what happened? The fire came out and burned them up. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tiru Sha'eter Magefahu V'achetu Amemes. I want you to show you. The Ketores will stop the plague. The Ketores will stop you from dying. It's your sin that kills. It's not the Ketores. So look what's happening. The Jewish people are dealing with the Ketores and they think that the Ketores kills. You know, by the way, Nadav and Aviv, what parsha is that? Parsha Shmini. What's the Haftarah of Parsha Shmini? The Haftarah of Parsha Shmini comes from Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel Beis. It's about when Uzzah, when the Oren Hashem was coming back to the Jewish people after it had been by the Plishtim and then by a mitzvah, and it was coming back and they were all celebrating and they're riding on the wagon and then it seems to be slipping and falling off, and Uzzah jumps out to grab the Oren to stop it. And he dies. Oh my gosh. So they thought the Oren killed, but they didn't want the Oren back, right? The Oren had been in the house of this house, but then they saw that the Oren could bring prosperity. We sometimes look at these things and we say it's a tool of death, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to show us that it's a tool of life. We see an ability to do din, to do judgment. We have a harder time being able to see and perceive an ability to do good, to give life. Let's continue on a little bit in Parsha's Chukas. In this week's Parsha, they complained again about the food. There's no bread, there's no water. We're disgusted with the mud. And Hashem sent against the people the snakes, Asrafim, by and they bit the people. And how did Moshe Rabbeinu heal them? What did he do? He took a snake and he put it up, a copper snake, and they looked at the copper snake. And they looked past it towards the Rebbeinu Shalom and they survived. Why? Because snakes don't kill. Right? People do. Sins do. There's such an ability to close in. You know, on the one hand, we read this and say, okay, so people who focus in, the Ketairis kills. The Mata kills. The snake kills. What has to be shown is that when you take this stick and you put it in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is that it flourishes and that it blossoms. And the biggest limud, the biggest lesson from that, is not Aaron is the right one, stop complaining. The biggest lesson from that is don't kvetch the Ribbono Shel Olam. He wants good, he gives good. Ki imcha mekor chayim v'orcha nira ar. With you is the source of light. In your light, we will see light. And the Jewish people have had a hard time seeing that. A couple of weeks ago, we learned Parsha Shlach. And in Parsha Shlach, we saw that the core of the failing of the Jewish people was that we didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking us to a good land. Is he taking us to a good place? Let's make sure. The doubts that we have about HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us, like a father carries his child taking care of him, we doubted the goodness and the giving commitment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to call Israel. That's the core issue of our Emunah in Hashem. Avram Avinu, the father of Emunas Yisrael, of our faith, said, Ki amarti olam chesed yibone. He discovered that the Ribbono Shel Olam built the world as an act of kindness. He wasn't the God of vengeance. He was Hashem, Hashem, Keil, Rachum, Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, Hashem of mercy, Hashem of graciousness, Hashem of giving, Hashem of love. That was what Avram discovered. And that was what Klal Yisrael has to rediscover. And in these stories where Klal Yisrael bristles and struggles, Kodesh Baruch Hu, they can't go in. They're going to take their children. Right? You know, you would wish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have to punish them in Israel for not realizing. But it, you know, it's not just, you know, come on, they have insecurity complex, they were slaves for so many years, they can't believe anybody loves them. There's more to it than that. There's something to some degree for which we are responsible. But over and over again, the din that has to be done has to be balanced with the chayim that has to be shown. Dafka, specifically now, Moshe Rabbeinu has to speak to the rock. Dafka now, Moshe Rabbeinu has to speak to the rock. He brings the stick that blossoms, that produces things, that just come, that Yazuvu Mayim, V'nosan Meimav, instead of the Haitseisam. You know, we talk sometimes about Smicha and Binyan, Zriya and Binyan, about planting and about building. Planting is when you allow the organic energy and strength within something to come forth. Building is when you impose it upon it. When you force it, right? You put the bricks in place. Nothing grows by itself in a building, right? You put on three bricks with mortar, you water it for 3 months, you'll still have three bricks, right? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. It's all, I brought it out. I have to do it. I have to impose it. It has nothing of its own. Right? Vayotze perech, vayotze tzitz, vayigmol shkedim. To blossom, to have life, to have an energy of its own that grows, that develops, that comes out. This is part of what Moshe Rabbeinu
the Raya Naaman, the faithful shepherd of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, has to demonstrate. Klal Yisrael gets up, they're short of water, they say, ah, we wish we would have died with that plague that our brothers died in. Why did Hashem bring us to this terrible desert to kill us here? What's going on? Show them the blossoming stick. Don't take a stick and force the water out of the rock. Speak to the rock and let the rock gush forth with its waters, given, granted to the Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu, one of his greatest responsibilities in leading the Bnei Yisrael was in this way to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the eyes of the Jewish people. The Kiddush, the sanctification of Hashem before the eyes of the Jewish people by giving, by producing, by providing with water, by providing with the mon, by taking care of the people. We always misconstrued that we had water when we complained, Ein Mayim. We just didn't want water from a rock. We had bread. We just didn't want bread from a Shemayim. Because Rahu was taking care of us, and instead, we didn't like what he gave us. We complained about the food. Ancient Jewish custom. The need to demonstrate, to show this is a part of the matter. This is part of the matter. There was a phase when the matter was the matter of the nachash, when the matter was the matter of the snake, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing din, dana naichi. There was a phase when the yadach hazaka, the strong hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was brought to bear to slap up the Egyptians and to hurt them and to destroy them, to punish them. But the Torah ends, right? Ulechol hayada chazaka asher asa Moshe l'nekel Yisrael. Right? For the great strong hand that Moshe Rabbeinu did before the eyes of the Jewish people, that's not referring just to the plagues against the Egyptians. It's referring to the mon, to the be'er, and to the life-sustaining things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Ki nicham Hashem tziyoy nicham kol chorveseh v'yosem midbora ke'eden v'arvosa ke'gan Hashem. When Hashem comforts Tzion, He will make its midbar, its desert, like Eden, its arava, its dry plains, like the Gan Hashem, like the garden of Hashem. That's the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the power of Nechama. To turn that which is arid and dead and empty and to give it life. We are too used to kimapechas stoim v'amoira adma utzvayim, the overturning of stoim v'amoira. That was kigan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. It was like the garden of Hashem. It was like paradise. Lifnei shacheis Hashem estoim v'amayra, before Hashem destroyed estoim v'amayra. Ooh, wow, Hashem destroyed estoim v'amayra. He turned it into a wasteland, into a desert. Which power of Hashem do you want to see? Do you want to see the one that turns, that destroys Eretz Mitzrayim? That turns stone into estoim v'amayra, into mapecha? Right, gofris v'melach sreifa kol arsa, sulfur and salt consuming, burning up the whole terrain. Is that the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you want to see? Or you want to see the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Ayosem Mibora Ke'eden V'Arvasa Ke'gan Hashem? And our insecurity, the insecurity of the Jewish people, was the insecurity of seeing the harshness and not seeing the sweetness. So tell me something. Go back now to all the pshatim in the main Riva. So what was it? Moshe Rabbeinu should have spoken to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. But he said, you know, you can speak to the rock and it comes out. It does the will of Hashem. How much more so we? You know, the gentleness. You know, the Medrash says, you know, they already were matured. And when they first came out of the Midbar, they were like a child that needed to be forced to do things. But now I can speak to them. Right? It's the same voice. The Rambam. The chet wasn't that he hit the rock, the chet was that he got angry. You're portraying Hashem is angry with the Jewish people, says the Rambam. You're the Navi Hashem. If you act angry, it means Hashem's angry. That's what they understand. Hashem's not angry with the Jewish people. That was the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban, the chet was that Moshe Rabbeinu made it look like they were doing the miracle, and that Hashem wasn't providing them for it. Moshe Rabbeinu was the humblest person on the face of the earth. Right? He's not trying to hog the limelight. He's not trying to pretend as if he's doing it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, your job is to show the Jewish people that Hashem takes care of you every step of the way. That's your job. That is demonstrated by the stick that comes out from before Hashem, blossoming. The mate that was once a snake, that was once the tool of din, of destruction, is now the tool of chesed, of chayim, of kindness and of life. And we need to see it. Zev, we need to see it. We need to see it. Chodesh Tammuz. The month of Tammuz, part of the post-Shavuos period, is that we read these stories of Sefer Bamidbar, the Asar and the Siyanus, all the challenges which we gave to Hashem in the Midbar. We read about Rosh Chodesh Av. Miriam died on Rosh Chodesh Av. Right? Hold on, I'm sorry, I'm not telling you something, I told you something incorrect just now. Miriam died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? Miriam died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Arna Kain died on Rosh Chodesh Av. But Miriam died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the Arna Kain died on Rosh Chodesh Av. And, you know, Av, the month that described destruction. Right, the period which leads up to it, Klal Yisrael, our need is not to see the snake, but to see the blossoms. To see that HaKadosh Baruch, of course he does din, of course Hashem does judgment. Of course Hashem does judgment. But Hashem primarily is the source of chayim, the source of life. The source of life. And that's something which we needed to see, which we need to see, which we continue to need to see. Gemil, Chasadim, Tevim, the Kreinei HaKoel. That the waters should become the waters of Meriva. Hema, Meim Riva, Sherevu, Bnei Yisrael, Hashem. These are the waters of strife. And what do we say? Mizmor LeDavid. We say, Almei, Menuchai, Sina, Aleni. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we say, we want that He should lead us by Me Menuches, by the waters of Menucha, of rest, of pleasantness, of ease, that we should be able to see, that we should be able to have. I think everyone, every person has to be able to show, be able to demonstrate. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Av. Everyone has to walk around holding the equivalent of the matter, the stick that has grown blossoms, that shows the chayim that stands, that a person derives when they stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Be'ezus Hashem, we will know that what He gives us is good, what He gives us is best. It's not lechem ha'klokim, but it's lechem abirim, the food of angels, the best. And maybe we'll be zeicher indeed to see that, and we'll be zeicher to see it openly, to demonstrate it, and we'll be zeicher to see it openly.